Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band, the podcast where we have comedians talk about music they like that other people shit all over. Now, that's not very nice, huh? Look, guys, I'm Tom Takkar. This time, sincerely, sorry about that hiatus.
We actually had a hiatus.
We had one. We joked around so much about a hiatus, and look at us now with the cake on our faces.
Tom had a great flight where he went from Mexico to Canada to get to America.
Oh, you're making fun of my travel plans, huh? Well, take it up with my girlfriend. yeah, it was. I just got back from Mexico City. Ooh la la. Wee wee.
Where they have Stand By Your Bandito.
Oh, shit. That's great.
No, it's not.
I like it. Yeah, it was a fun trip. Let's introduce our guests before we get into this stuff. We have the hilarious, the phenomenal, the wonderful Joe Zimmerman is on today.
That's true. All three of those adjectives.
How you doing, buddy?
Those are my credits.
Phenomenal. That'd be good. You know him from being phenomenal and wonderful.
Wonderful. That's like something a grandparent would say about me, so I appreciate that.
Whenever I say the word wonderful, I think of the beginning of that song, the Everclear song.
Isn't life wonderful?
Wonderful. It's real creepy. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
That song that's like, let's find it.
Just play it. Yeah,
I'm going to find it. That's what we do on this show.
You're not an Everclear fan.
I mean,
do you not believe in this country?
Doesn't. Their songs aren't coming to mind.
You can hear their music on the AM radio.
That's true.
This is wonderful.
Or if you're in Santa Monica.
Oh, no.
There went
Damn it.
Tom's iPhone screen.
Yeah, drop my phone.
We take one hiatus and Tom forgets how to put a phone on a desk.
Oh, wait, is this? Oh.
Wonderful.
Isn't it wonderful?
Wonderful.
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 So wonderful.
Wonderful.
Isn't everything wonderful?
This is longer than I remember.
One of them sounds like the Joker.
Yeah, yeah.
Wonderful.
You know how I got these scars? Father of mine.
It's almost like Hoodie and the Blowfish 5 years later.
Yeah, and like sad for some reason. Everclear is like always kind of sad.
For sure.
Yeah. I liked Everclear. I used to listen to Father of Mine and just like fucking rock out
in
my room.
Were they in the late 90s?
Yeah.
I think early 2000s.
Early 2000s and late 90s, I think. I think they were in the scene, in the mix.
Yeah. I might, maybe I'll get into them.
This is what we do here.
You just introduced me to a new band.
I used to love them. I don't think they hold up, but who knows? Maybe they're
one of my first concerts.
Is that right?
I only saw like three songs because I had to get picked up to go home because I was only in like fourth grade. And then like, you know, bands take so long to come on when you go see them.
Yeah.
So I think we literally saw three songs and I was like, well, gotta go.
That sucks. Yeah, I just got back from Mexico, like I said, and LA, and I was in Chicago as well. I've been all over this damn land. And it was a brutal trip. No, the vacation part was fun, but I lost my goddamn Nintendo Switch to start off this trip. You know what a Nintendo Switch is, Joe?
No.
I'm jealous of you, Joe.
Is it a tiny Nintendo that you play on an airplane?
You can,
like
yeah. It's like,
a Game Boy?
I envy a man who doesn't know the beauty of a Switch, for you cannot have lost what you never had.
This is the most upset I've seen you, and I've known you for a long time. Losing the Switch is like...
Tim, who's sitting in the background listening like a weirdo, this is a Patreon experience for him. If you pay the Patreon of our rent, one-fifth of our rent, you can sit in and listen live. Tim saw me. I was at the airport for 9 hours. I was supposed to fly to Chicago to do a college, and I sit on the flight for 2.5-3 hours, sit on the plane or whatever, waiting to take off, and they have a mechanical issue, and then that mechanical issue leads into bad weather after they finally fix it. So then they're like, we think we're going to delay for another 45 minutes. Then that goes by. We're sitting on there forever, and then they're finally like, we may be canceling this flight. And I get a notification on my phone, the flight's canceled, as the guy's saying it. Yeah. And I'm like, well, fuck me. I can't be. Luckily, I was going a day early because I didn't want to in case this happened, I didn't want to miss the college. Somewhere along the next 4 hours of being in the airport trying to get my flight rebooked for the next day, I just left my goddamn Nintendo Switch somewhere, and I have never been angrier, I don't think. Because I didn't even know that I did it until I got home, and then I was about to go to bed, and then I was like, wait, where's my Switch? I'm going to plug it in.
You wanted to say goodnight to it?
Yeah, I was going to pet it goodnight, give it a little peck.
Meanwhile, the airport shut down because they had to bring in a bomb squad to deal with your Nintendo Switch.
Well, boy, I wish. At least then I would know it was safe, you know? It's not even that I am mad that I don't have it. I want to know that it's okay.
It's like they had to unscrew every wire.
I did not think about that. Tim heard me right before I went to bed just smash a chair. Or no, he was sitting up here and I didn't throw it across the room. I'm not Bobby Knight, sir. I slammed it on the ground. I was upset. Anyways, yeah. But we're back.
I had a flight get canceled last week too, and I was going to a bachelor party. And then I was in a rebooking line, and the guy in front of me started screaming and saying, I have to bury my father tomorrow. I was like, well, I can't feel bad about my problem anymore.
Tommy told me that story like the day before. Oh, yeah, because it was all the day before.
Yeah.
Tommy told me that story the day before this all happened to me, and boy, did I think about doing that.
Wow.
I was in the back of the plane, so I was in the back of the rebooking line.
He's yelling that from the airplane?
No, we weren't on the plane. We were in line. He was yelling that at the attendant, and then I was like, yeah, I can't be like, my boys rented a boat. And
I'd like the flight customer service person to be like, oh, I'm so sorry you have to bury your father tomorrow. You probably should have flown in more than a day early for that. Seems like a pretty big deal.
Maybe give yourself a little buffer there, yeah. You're going to hop off the plane and into burial mode. And is your phone in burial mode before we get started here? Yeah.
Is that why I keep getting ghosted?
Damn, we're on fire. I don't know that we are. Today we are here to talk about the spin doctors, and we ain't talking about who your granny talks to when she gets vertigo.
Whoa.
We're talking about these fellas. I'm going to play one of their songs immediately, because I'll be honest, I didn't know a lot about the spin doctors. Like,
you had to know those two bands.
Yeah, I knew the songs. I just didn't know that they were them. Like, I always forget, you know? Yeah. I'm still on Everclear. Let's see. This is
a New York City band.
Here we
the
go.
Spin Doctors.
They popped in 94. That might have been. Oh, yeah.
This is the calmest hell yeah.
makes me and everyone listening happy, doesn't it?
This is their the hit we were just talking about, Two Princes.
Oh, here comes the riff. Little voice riff.
Are you always a fan of the scat?
I've learned more than one time throughout my life that is not a good karaoke song.
Oh, really? It took you more than one?
Yeah. Because I did it as like a teenager. And I was like, oh, maybe just people don't pay attention at karaoke when you're a teenager.
That is the saddest thought ever, by the way.
And then I brought it back as an adult. I was like, oh, this will be a nice throwback to our youth. Funny karaoke song.
For sure.
And no, it's not. It's just because it's so catchy, but it's that sound over and over again.
Hey.
So when
Joe
I'm
just
saying,
raised
just,
the levels a little.
It's just for the whole time.
No one's going to get fired up. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a hard hype song.
So I switched to En Vogue, Never Gonna Get It. Huge hit.
Oh, that's good.
For karaoke.
I don't know if I know that song.
Cut us off a little piece of that, Joe.
Never gonna get it, never gonna get it.
Yeah, you know
this. Never gonna get it.
That's a great song.
Never get it. Not this way. No, you're never gonna get it. My love said never ever gonna get it.
Maybe people just don't pay attention to karaoke on podcasts.
But So that's my band. I grew up. That was my introduction.
Was the introduction. Is that you heard that song and you were like, well, this is music.
You know how age 14, mm-hmm. 13, 14, 15, yeah. That's your, what I feel like
around
whatever you're listening,
Tommy Dates, yeah.
Whatever you're listening to at that moment is sort of forms your,
mm-hmm. Sure. That's a lot of what people talk about on this podcast. Okay, yeah, that's probably what Jared's going to say. We'll get to him in a second.
So it was 94, Kurt Cobain shot himself in that greenhouse, and this is what we were left with.
It's funny, there's a Rolling Stone cover about Kurt Cobain, and then the cover is the Spin Doctors.
Oh, really?
Yeah, somebody posted it on the Facebook. I'll look it up in a second. I want to talk about this song, Two Princes, just for a minute, because this is the song, that everyone knows them. I actually got this mixed up with an Everclear song because they have that song that's like, I will buy you a garden.
Those songs aren't similar at
they
all.
They only remind me of each other because they're like, they're doing things for somebody because this is about her having suitors or whatever. Some lady having suitors.
10 million records sold, by the way, on that album.
Wow.
10 million. Just in case anybody thinks it wasn't a big deal. 10 million.
Pocket full of kryptonite.
Yep.
Damn, 10 million. That's almost how many dollars you have, Tommy. after you sued that woman for sleeping with you when you were 17.
Yes, exactly. Me being single has ruined this podcast. Every joke now is about me either being a pedophile or a pedophile victim.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, there's another one. You were saying, were you always a fan of the scat? Well, Tommy's gotten really into the scat.
Oh, God.
The piss version. let's see here. So there was an article in AV Club likes to ask people what they hate.
They do a hate song as the name of the feature.
And
seen those?
Oh,
they have like different celebrities pick one song they hate and they just kind of expound upon it.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. Edition.
That's a fun segment.
It is. It's a good time. We should steal that segment. Okay. We need to steal more segments, Tommy.
Yeah, hate segment's good.
Let's see. Alkaline Trio's Matt Skiba on why he hates Spin Doctors' Two Princes. This is from April of 2013 at noon. It says, one of the reasons I hate this song is because of how popular it actually was. I've spoken to friends of mine about this interview, and they're like, God damn it, it's stuck in my head now. That song was forced upon us as a people. I understand what the song is supposed to be about, but it just represents like the opposite of Bob Marley or Billy Bragg or something. It's white people without problems music. I just envision hippies in a VW driving around San Francisco like, wee, in the 90s.
Wee.
The worst part of that song is, just go ahead now. Just go ahead now. What the fuck does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. It's just garbage. That's great. Pocket full of kryptonite. Holy shit. Little Miss Can't Be Wrong. Oof. These lyrics are definitely about nothing. He goes on for quite a while here.
Doesn't he say he wants to buy you rockets? What's that all about?
Who is that person that's hating on him?
This is Matt Skiba of
Alkaline Trio.
He's the front man.
Well, tell us what you've done, Matt Skiba. From Alkaline Trio. Oh, I'm sorry. I was a white teenager without problems. Sorry, I had to experience joy. Maybe I'll just should have grown up somewhere with more problems, and then I could have, you know, in the 70s, and I could have enjoyed Bob Marley. But I didn't. I grew up in the 90s.
Bob was not for us.
Where'd you grow up, Jim?
Oh yeah, Bob Marley. Representing all the problems. No woman, no cry. Oh, nothing pisses me off more than a coffee shop that just plays nonstop Bob Marley.
Yeah,
I'm drinking caffeine here.
I feel the same way. Yeah, it stresses me out to hear people being relaxed.
Yeah, me too. It's like it's part of why I don't like weed as much. It's like everybody's like all chilled out and crunchy, groovy, man. That's not for me, bitch.
Me and Matt Skiba might have some sort of bizarro world music taste because Bob Marley, I respect everything he's done, but for some reason the music stresses me out, whereas Spin Doctors' music It's my sweet spot.
Wait, also while we're talking about Two Princes, I have to say that Spin Doctors put out a Greatest Hits album at one point.
Sure.
And instead of just calling it Spin Doctors Greatest Hits, they called it Just Go Ahead Now, a Retrospective.
Oh, God, that's so funny.
The most pretentious way to name
a retrospective.
Spin Doctors Greatest Hits album. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Spin Doctors are a New York group led by Chris Barron, who rocked a very disheveled look at the time. They were tagged an alternative band, which was good for marketing purposes since it made them sound edgy. Really, they were a rock band with pop appeal, and in 93 there was a huge demand for their sound, especially among top 40 radio stations who were pushing back against the tide of hip-hop. So that's
Wait, what?
That's what this says on
He was though. High school friends with
John Popper.
John Popper, who was part of the band briefly.
So
like,
Spin
the
Doctors
beginning.
And Blues Traveler are very interconnected.
Yeah,
it's like
and it
the
makes sense.
Marvel Universe.
Yeah, John Popper just shows up after the credits.
Did you say a pushback against hip-hop culture?
It's literally gentrifying the radio.
That was not a huge pushback.
There was no pushback.
Oh, you were pushing against, back.
It was just Rusted Root, Spin Doctors, Blues Traveler, Arrested Development,
yeah,
and people who felt like hacky sack.
I love to imagine them. They put on like Ice Cube, and you were putting your fingers over your lips, like la 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 la. Play Spin Doctor. That's how this music got created. Somebody just going la la ba da ba ba ba.
Were you a Blues Traveler fan?
I got the Blues Traveler album probably shortly after I got the Spin Doctors Pocket Full of Kryptonite.
The Pocket Full of Kryptonite's a gateway drug.
Oh yeah. It was straight Pocket Full of Kryptonite right into Blues Traveler and Rusted Root. Right in there.
Were you actually playing Hacky Sack? Were you a Hacky Sack man?
I was not a Hacky Sack guy. I made fun of the Hacky Sack people.
Nice.
I was just there for the music.
You see me slowly hiding my Hacky Sack? Yeah, me too.
I was a Hacky Sack
boy. I probably
boy.
Tried it, but wasn't very good at it and just put it to the side.
I would do childish things.
I would do a thing where, because I think Hacky Sack is supposed to be like a communal thing. Like, it's like hippies like tossing around with each other. I got really good by myself. I would play Hacky Sack alone in solitude for hours at a time while I watched The Simpsons and stuff.
I'm sorry, man.
No, that's okay.
Well, that actually sounds more fun than just watching TV for
that's
hours.
True.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
I didn't do
kid.
Any extra activities.
I did extra activity. I would come up. I had a hamper that I would play basketball in while I watched TV. When you're a latchkey child, you really come up with a lot of when you're a lonely boy, you come up with a lot of things to occupy your time. And that being said, let's go to Jared. Jared is our friend and foe of the podcast. Like I said, today, or I didn't say this on air, but he told me that today's voicemail is short and mean. So I'm excited to hear it.
Well, Tom said he said it's short and sweet. Oh, no, wait. He said short and mean.
The opposite.
Literally the opposite.
If you don't know Jared, he is the owner of the Comedy Attic in beautiful Bloomington, Indiana. And he tends to hate a lot of the music that we on this show listen to and like. So let's hear what he thinks about the Spin Doctors.
What's up, y'all? This week they went to Jared. The boys are going to have a guest on defending the Spin Doctors. This is how dedicated to this podcast I am. I'm sitting here outside of our quote-unquote cabin, which looks like something that, like Abraham Lincoln lived in Jasonville, Indiana, in Shackamack State Park. It's about 100 degrees. There's no air conditioning. Fuck camping. Anyone who's like, I love being outdoors, you need to get a fucking psychiatric evaluation because this shit sucks. Anyway, the Spin Doctors. I don't know how or why they ever... I mean, it's obviously they had the one song and then maybe a second one. I don't know. But they were never good in the first place. Like, every once in a while, you'll be in, like, a restaurant or, you know, wherever where they're like, we're going to play nostalgic 90s music. And, like, it'll have stuff that people did like originally. And then just out of the blue... they think that we liked the Spin Doctors. Like, we definitely didn't like the Spin Doctors. Like, they had to have had some fans or else, you know, they wouldn't have charted or whatever the songs. But, I mean, it's not like anyone loved them. Like, they were just like this band that existed sort of away from anyone knowing anything about them. Like, all we know is that the singer is like a stupid looking guy who acted like an asshole. The songs suck. They're terrible. Fuck the Spin Doctors. I hate everything. Goodbye.
Well, see, that's why I'm glad I'm here to defend them, because there were people who loved them.
Yeah, so what say you to that, Jared? Yeah, what do you think about his criticism of the singer?
Looking like an asshole.
Yeah, looking like an asshole.
Chris Barron never did anything asshole-ish. He did nothing but be a nice man.
I will say, all right, look at this picture of him here. He does kind of look like a douche. maybe he's a nice guy. I kind of like that print on his shirt. I know, Tommy, you can't see it over there. But just he looks like a walking hacky sack, kind of.
To me, yeah. He looks like 1995.
Yeah, just the
year. If the year could be described in a face.
He does. That's true.
My favorite Jared story. Have you guys heard this Jared story? Because he's got strong opinions. Somebody was in the green room, and Jared goes, what's the best album cover of all time, music album? Have you heard this story?
I think I've had this conversation with him before, but I don't know that I know this specific story.
I forget who the comic was, but he said, he was like, I don't know, the Beatles, one of the Beatles albums, he named it. Well, let's say it was Sgt. Pepper.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And Jared said something like, are you crazy? You think Sgt. Pepper Lonely is the best album cover of all time? And then Jay was like, no, it's this one. And he named some other album cover. I wish I could think of what it was. Like, say Pink Floyd. It's obviously Pink Floyd. And then he was like, Sgt. Pepper's maybe the second best.
Are you crazy?
That was a perfect Jared story. Jared, thank you for taking the time away from camping. I appreciate it.
I agree that camping sucks.
I agree, too. I've always said this.
Zero interest.
Nature, overrated. Burn it down.
We're nurture boys.
Yeah.
So Spin Doctors, I did love them. They were the first live concert I ever saw.
Oh, shoot.
They were so big in 1994 that both Cracker and the Gin Blossoms were opening for them that show.
Wow.
Does Cracker have any relation to Uncle Cracker?
You don't know Cracker?
No, I don't know Cracker. Do you?
I don't remember them.
They got the song Low. Be with you, girl.
Oh, yeah.
Like being low.
I know that song,
I like that song.
Hey.
Another perfect like 90s soundtrack. It feels like it's on Clueless or something.
Yeah. So, but here's the thing was, and that album, it's not just those two hits. That album, front to back, solid album.
Front pocket to back pocket.
All the way, every song on there, solid. The album works as a whole.
Yeah.
Where was the concert? What was that experience?
It was at Morgantown, West Virginia at the Mountaineer Basketball Stadium.
So huge, like, basketball stadium concert. Wow.
Yeah.
Damn. Did you go to WVU?
No, I grew up there, but I went off to Davidson College in North
Steph
Carolina.
Curry.
Ooh,
Steph Curry.
Yeah, damn.
Did you know him?
I've met him. I've had dinner with him. No big deal.
Is that true?
Yeah.
What?
I had dinner with him during his first MVP championship year.
Why are you talking to us?
Yeah. Fuck the Spin Doctors. Defend the super team.
That's wild. Was he nice?
Yeah, it was like the best night of my life.
That's insane. That's
I've been a fan of his ever since he came onto the Davidson College scene, and then just a friend of a friend took me to a basketball game at Barclays.
Yeah, yeah.
And afterwards, it was his college roommate, and his college roommate was like, "Hey, maybe we can go say hi to him." I was like, "Whoa!" And we went into the locker room, and Steph was like, "Oh, nice to meet you." And I was like, "Hell yeah!"
That is so crazy. Yeah.
And then he goes, "You guys want to go to dinner?" I was like, "What?
Oh my god, that's
this
amazing.
Is insane!"
I was like blushing the whole dinner. We drove, you know, in a car into Manhattan.
It's funny how like every single detail is interesting. Like, we drove in a car
to a diner. He got, you know, he got pasta.
Pasta, man. All right.
Yeah, and we had a great Manhattan diner, nice fancy diner experience. We shot the gossip. I remember I was asking silly questions, and one of them, the genuine question was, "You guys burn a lot of calories out there. Don't you get hungry
during
on the
game?
Court, yeah.
I mean, that's like 3 hours of running
during the game.
I was like, "Do you? I never see you eating. I never see you eating." And he said, "And he said, you know, my little secret is I do have a PB&J at halftime.
Wow,
really? So I learned a little Steph Curry secret.
Oh, damn. That's wild. And he's probably got sticky fingers that help him shoot.
And then he said in the shoot arounds before the game, when he's got the headphones on, Spin Doctors.
I love if he's like listening to your album. Oh man, that's amazing! Yeah. Holy moly!
Yeah, highlight of my career.
This is the best moment in.
That's the only interesting moment in this podcast.
Not just this episode. The entire year and a half, or whatever.
We walked into the diner. Nobody stopped him or I don't know if people recognized him, but nobody stopped him or said hi to him because that was halfway through his first MVP season. He wasn't, and first championship season. He wasn't quite a household figure.
That's crazy because he made such a big splash at
Splash Brothers
at Davidson with that tourney run.
I mean, yeah. I mean,
but I guess that's not
anybody. I mean, a lot of people know him, but I guess. He's not, you know, if LeBron had walked into a diner, it would have been a scene.
Uh-huh.
I think because he's not, you know, he's 6'1", 6'2",
right.
Very thin looking. People just didn't notice.
Sure, sure.
And he's with just two random 30-year-old white guys.
With two princes.
Exactly. Let's go to Facebook. This is another part. This is another segment. Somebody offered to make us a little theme, a little jingle for Facebook. So I think we're going to have that coming up for you. So wait in anticipation until the day that that happens. We had a lot of people come in with some hard takes on the Spin Doctors.
Did you look or no?
Did you take
sometimes
a peek?
The guests look, sometimes they don't.
Oh, I didn't know about
sometimes
this.
Sometimes the guest argues with people in there.
I would love to hear.
Okay, so starting with Guy Montgomery or Gee.
It's Guy.
Gee.
Why would it be Gee?
It could be Gee.
He did your radio show.
He lives in
Gee.
France. You know
yeah,
him.
I love this guy.
What is wrong with you?
He's very funny. It's Guy. He has a hilarious podcast where they watch the same movie every week for a year. It is very funny.
Which
they
movie?
Watch Sex in the City 2 every day for a year. Or every week for a year. He said he lost his mind. But they did another movie too. It was another sequel. Damn it. And then they did some shitty Zac Efron movie. I wish I could remember the first movie they did it with.
That's really funny.
But he told me that I hope I'm not giving away anything that he doesn't want out there, but he said that they had to stop the podcast. They're in their last season now because they were like, what's the funniest thing we could do for the next one? And they realized the funniest thing they could do is Sex in the City 2 again.
Oh, my God.
And they were like, we just can't do that for our own mental health. Guy Montgomery, he's fucking hilarious. Anyway, he said they should have made a bigger comeback with the Rise of the Fidget Spinner last year. It's true.
That is the millennial hacky sack.
Yeah, for sure. It's weird, though, because hacky sack, you know, it takes a little skill. It's like a soccer thing going on.
What are you implying, sir?
Fidget spinner. You just spin it. It's a comfort thing. It's not. I think it's more like one of those cubes or whatever. Like one of those stress balls. I think that's what fidget spinners are like.
By the way, since I'm defending Spin Doctors,
yes.
A lot of people say they just went away. Well, their lead guitarist left the band after the third album, and then the 2 years later Chris Barron had a rare voice paralysis there was a 50-50 chance he wouldn't even be able to talk normally again.
Damn.
That is so, that stuff scares me so much.
Yeah
that's our livelihood.
I scream a lot.
So his livelihood was just a rare voice disease. Two years no voice, and then he was one of the he overcame the odds and got his voice back.
But yeah, Jared, he's an asshole.
Yeah, I guess he's a real piece of shit, Jared.
Well, I'm just here to make Jared feel guilty. Jared, be like, I don't give a fuck if he had voice paralysis. He sucked.
Okay, he's the second best singer of all time.
Oh, damn it. That reminded me of another Jared.
But I'm just saying, like, there's reasons that they... More than one reason that they disappeared for a little bit. One of them was a cute voice.
Here's a singer story. Matt Alonzo Mourning, the co-producer of the Limestone Comedy Festival, along with Jared, comedian, funny boy, wrote, I caught the singer's solo set at the Sidewalk Cafe once back in the mid-aughts when we were loading in gear for our late show.
Wow, Sidewalk Cafe.
Yeah.
That's a small venue.
He had his shirt unbuttoned down to his navel. And he did dramatic and deadly serious reading of a poem by Longfellow. It's up there as one of the douchiest things I saw in my 15 years of touring with bands.
That was Chris Barron?
It sounds like it was Chris Barron.
Wow.
Shirt unbuttoned down to the navel. And of course, me and Tommy are dressed like that right now, but it's very hot in here. Patty Schroeder says, for Christ's sakes, Tom, it's Labor Day.
Look, I can't defend the Spin Doctors post 2000.
Fair enough.
I'm not here for that.
The millennium
Spin Doctors, yeah. Let's see. Isaac Lanfert writes, someone is defending this band. My older brother bought their album Pocketful of Kryptonite because he was a big Superman fan and desperately wanted to like it. It didn't work, but he did tape every episode of the show Lois and Clark.
Sounds like his brother's a dumbass.
Yeah, his brother bought an album because he liked Superman.
Wonderful.
Wait a second. You're doing a Joker impression about this, about Superman?
If we examine the bits, what are we?
Bring me the Superman. If you have someone who's not my dad, I'll be shocked. That was Miranda Britton, daughter of David Britton.
Oh, David Britton's a Spin fan.
I guess he's a Spin Doctors fan.
A little doctor's head.
That is not shocking at all.
Doctor's head. Oh, no.
David Britton said, I saw them twice in the 90s and bought a $30 t-shirt both times.
Oh, yeah. I definitely have two $30 Spin Doctors t-shirts.
Ooh, $230. Sounds like it's time to go to the dentist.
T-shirts, yeah.
Let's see.
Which also their song, What Time Is It, the most 90s song
is that
all
on your playlist?
Let's play it.
Because only, that was one of the last years in the history of the world that people regularly asked, what time is it? That was a regular question.
That is crazy.
Now
if
somebody says, what time is it? You're like, are you stupid? What are you talking
about? What went wrong in your life if you ask it now? But this was a common question. That's it. It's the click ticking clock. You got
it. Oh, okay.
It's about to start. This was not on the radio, but this was on the album.
Right. This is one that I think I have heard.
And then it's just that for the rest of the song.
What have you done?
This is one of those songs, like, I'm a little hungover today, and it was playing earlier, and I was like, is this song still fucking on? It's the same one.
But they have some good, they have some good guitar riffs.
Yeah.
Coming it's fun.
Up. Are you a Fish guy?
Oh, yeah. Shortly after Spin Doctors, it was Fish.
Okay.
See, listen to this instrumental. Listen to those drums. Ain't got no.
I didn't realize how much of a jam band Spin Doctors were until I listened to your playlist.
Uh-huh, same here.
They've got some serious crunchy grooves.
How much did it pain you to say that?
People would ask me what time it is, and I would say, a 4:30.
That was your, like, teenage bit?
Yeah.
That's so good.
Never got a laugh. That was my first attempt at humor.
4:30, I'm going to become a comedian.
I was always shocked that every time it didn't get a laugh, which was every time, I was always surprised.
That is so funny.
That was my introduction to comedy. Just would not give up that bit for the entire 7th grade.
Now I want to do it.
Yeah, that's a good time.
What time is it? 4:30.
Do you remember your first bit, Tommy?
No.
I remember I was 6, and I heard this joke. Do you drink? It was during the height of the OJ trial, and I remember I would go around on the playground and ask people, do you drink OJ? And they'd be like, what? And I'd be like, that stuff will kill you. And then they'd be like, huh? We hate you.
I used to wear funny shirts.
But then again, you know, kids don't have a great sense of humor.
True. What
so,
do they know?
So maybe we were onto something.
We could have been. That might have been a great bit that I heard someone else do. I was the Carlos Mencia of being a 6-year-old. Yeah. I didn't have my own material.
You were saying that B word a lot?
What's that? Oh, yeah. It's weird. I had to cycle through what he might have been
saying. The culture
saying.
Has moved on.
Yeah, we don't say that word. The B word. Bitch. By the way, this is a track from the first Spin Doctors album. This says the 5 million selling pocket full of kryptonite, which this might be.
5 million 5 million domestic, 5 million more international.
It seems like you're being a spin doctor.
Somebody wrote that on Facebook.
5 million.
No, I stole it.
5 Sorry, million Gary. The U.S., 5 million, 10 million total.
I see. Okay.
So it depends how you count it.
It came out of an improvised jam when the band was playing into the early morning at Columbia University fraternity. We
Imagine
were playing
being there drunk as hell. You guys are on to something.
I love this line. It says, I turned to Darren Green, who is the friend of the band, and I was like, what time is it? He said 4:30, and then Eric just busted into that riff. I started singing, what time is it? 4:30. And then off the top of my head, it's not late, it's early.
Oh, no.
Oh, how brilliant.
You mean they didn't sit down and write that out? I thought it was a great reference to it being right after 4:20 when we had got high.
No. It was just that they were at a frat. The guy who was doing a beer bong.
That is the whitest thing ever, yeah.
I truly thought it was a reference to 4:20.
I wish I could remember who wrote this. I don't think it's on our thing. I think I Googled it and I found it. Somebody wrote that, I think it's Miranda. It's Miranda Britton. She said, people who listen to the Spin Doctors always dress like they listen to the Spin Doctors.
I did dress like that in 1994.
We got a couple more little. The only true Spin Doctor is Bill O'Reilly. Thanks, Patrick. The big bad of the Vampire Diaries. Wait. The big bad of the Vampire Diaries Season 6 hates the Spin Doctors. I don't know what that means, Otto, but I
you know
appreciate
what that
your contribution.
Means.
The big bad?
It's a common term for TV, whatever the villain of a TV show
oh,
is.
Oh, I've never heard that before. I like it.
Yeah.
You're the big bad of this podcast.
That's true.
Well, thank you for educating me, Otto.
I believe Joss Whedon popularized the term around Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Okay, Lorne. let's see here. So that was, what time is it? 4:30.
And I have to say, we were saying how that's your introduction to music. My dad is a big Bob Dylan guy.
Ooh.
And so I was like, oh, he had Bob Dylan. I have Spin Doctors. I can grow.
Oh
I can grow
God.
With this band.
The poet laureate of an era.
So
yeah.
I really tried to stay with them.
Yeah.
Because 93, they had 92, 93, they had Pocketful of Kryptonite. And then their next album, came out 2 years later, and it still had a million record sales. And I was like, okay, this album's pretty good. They're doing some more quirky stuff, but I'm with them.
Let's listen to the song from that album that you picked.
Which one is that? Oh, no. I mean, yeah, let's listen to it. Is it Biscuit Head?
It's What Your Girl Give Me.
Let's just say
Biscuit Head.
There was a sharp drop off for this album, but they still had a million sales. It was, yes. And I stuck with it. I was like, all right, Biscuit Heads, that's a fun one. This is a fun bass riff.
It sounds, yeah,
it
it's like
a bass
riff. It's like Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
So, now I'm 15, 16 years old, hanging in there.
Walking into the first day of sophomore year of high school.
Mr. Biscuit.
That's right.
Makes sense. You like living in the South. There's Big Biscuit Country.
Oh yeah.
Actually, it's funny. I wrote in Biscuit Head. Asheville popped up.
Oh,
isn't that weird?
I grew up in Morgantown, West Virginia, which is a college town where a lot of people dressed kind of like if you're a.
You were in Asheville partially, right?
More
at some
recently.
Point yeah. Well, not at this time. Yeah.
I can never make sense of these lyrics. I didn't know if they were singing about a guy who looked like he had a head like a biscuit. And why that would be a double-decker biscuit.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
See, double-decker biscuit head.
One of the great mysteries of our culture.
I'm thinking now they just kind of riffed that lyric, because...
Stop cracking your toes and get your pig out of my bed. This sounds like more frat stuff to me.
They grew up in New York City. They're not all frat guys.
No, they weren't. They were performing at the frat they ripped that thing.
I see. Well, look, we've all had to perform at frats, Tom.
That's true.
And we have to riff stuff at frats. And if we create some great art from a frat, that's just bonus. That's just
can't
bonus.
Can't spell frat without art.
That's right.
Or fart.
Ew.
So it was really the album after this that was a complete collapse.
Yeah.
It was the album after this that sold like 9 copies, and their record label dropped them.
Epic.
I was trying to find anything about this song, like any...
Biscuithead was a deep cut. It was a deep cut that I enjoyed.
But no one seems to have any thoughts on it.
Everybody dropped off after on this album. Everybody just got it and was like, huh, I guess I'm done with the Spin Doctors. But I hung in there for
this
album.
You hung in there.
I would liken your playlist to a Trojan horse to get that song into my ears. And it made me so mad when I heard it.
Oh, here we go. Oh, Urban Dictionary has some meaning about what a biscuit head. A joke diss to call someone. It's not serious at all. It's just a joke. What does that mean?
Who took the time to write that in there?
I don't know. I'm trying to make it load so I can see if there's more. In the meantime, I do want to read a couple more things I read about. Like, if you search Spin Doctors, there a lot of those lists come up. They're like top 20 worst bands of all time or whatever with a hit, or top 20 worst songs of all time, because people get really pissed off.
The Rolling
off
Stone
about
one is really funny because they list them as the number 8 worst band of the 90s. But then in the last line of the paragraph is like, but they're not that bad. They probably shouldn't even be on this list, which exemplifies the general indifference most people feel, I feel like.
Salon wrote one. Let's see here. Spin.
Did you ever personally get made fun of for liking the Spin Doctors?
That's a good question, Tommy.
And great response to his question.
Thank you. This is what I want this podcast to be. More compliments all around.
I have one more question, Joe. When you're on stage, you ever get hungry up there?
Oh my God, Tommy. What a follow up.
Tom, thank you for saying that to Tommy.
Joe, thank you for complimenting me on what I said about Tommy.
My pleasure. Yes, I did get made fun of very much. Because Spin Doctors, I thought, were great. They're rocking, you know, that's rock and roll.
Yeah.
And then I moved on to, and my friends liked the Spin Doctors at age 14. Mm-hmm. And then you move on to Fish, and then you get to college and you learn that all of the music you liked is horrible.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
That's what you learn in college. That's what everybody tells you in college. But Spin Doctors, it was, people like laughed if you said you liked the Spin Doctors and didn't take you seriously.
Yep.
And so that's when I learned that, like, if you're on a date, you can't be like, yeah, I really like the Spin Doctors. You have to say something cooler. You know?
Yeah, for sure.
You have to be like, I really like Leonard Cohen.
Mm-hmm. I remember I never had heard of Leonard Cohen until my first year of college, and I was like, oh, this is not, like, you have to say stuff like that. The first time someone looked at my iTunes, it was like a nightmare. It was truly horrific. Because back then I was like, I'll put anything on my iTunes.
Oh, yeah.
I was put my sister and brother-in-law had all these CDs that I would just be like, I'll put them all on my computer. Who gives a shit? More music. That's sick. And
that
then
was,
people made fun of it.
My move to make fun of people is I would go to their top 25 most played. And that's where you really get the dirt.
You're the problem.
Oh, big time.
That sucks.
Yeah, I think there's no... I've never had a good experience on a date or with a significant other talking about... Like, when they ask the music you like, mm-hmm. it never goes well.
Yeah.
Because the music I most like is, you know... But you know, Bob Dylan, that's hung with me, you know, Ryan Adams, but women could care less about those people.
Right. They want to hear you say Beyonce.
Oh, you like the mumbly guys?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't thought of them like that.
I don't think that anybody, I think there was like one person I ever dated who liked the music that I liked. But yeah, in general, I feel like it just is irrelevant. Like I'll be like, I like the National, and they're like, oh, that sucks. They don't. I'll show them. Like my girlfriend is like, oh, they're sad. You like sad stuff.
It always stings me a little.
Yeah, I don't care anymore. I mean, I would like if my girlfriend liked the stuff that I liked. That's always pleasant. But you know, it's kind of nice that we have differences, though.
True,
too.
True, true.
But it
true,
is.
True.
It does suck when people are like, "Oh, what you listen to is actually very boring, and I hate it." Mm. That sucks.
Yeah.
But, yeah, yeah. But I would say. They're so, the Spin Doctors are so silly and specific to 1995.
Yes.
That you almost don't get made fun of if you say you like them. It's just like people giggle.
For sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And you're like, no, I actually, they like influenced me.
They made me who I am today. let's see. All right. I found an example. Oh, here we go. Biscuit Head. I've been waiting for this to load for so long. Someone who has a massive round head, a bit like a rich tea or digestive biscuit. Have you seen, example, have you seen Pod lately? He's got a massive biscuit head.
There's a guy named Pod? What a weird example.
You know when they say that kids' videos just get made from algorithms and they're like insane? That's what that sentence is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what I would have guessed a biscuit head was.
Yeah.
Is like a guy with a big head.
Yeah.
But I don't know if, you know, I always wanted to read deeper into their lyrics.
Yeah.
But now that I've learned they just riff stuff at frats, I realize maybe I shouldn't have been psychoanalyzing.
But that's how Dylan wrote Hurricane.
That's true. He was at a corporate. He was riffing.
Dylan riffed Hurricane. All 18 verses.
Yeah, an 8-minute song, yeah.
I found this that I wanted to read. It's on the list of, on mandatory.com, they have a list of, if you like any of these songs, you are a total asshole.
Uh-oh.
And one of them is Two Princes. I just forgot. I was looking through my tabs that I had pulled up, and that was on. Here's an interesting thing. It's the first time I've seen this. Cracked put out an article called 10 Great Songs by the Worst Bands of All Time, and they put the Spin Doctors on here, and they put this song that is not on the list. I want to find it real fast.
Oh, it wasn't on my list of six?
No. It's called Mary Jane.
That was a bad song.
That was a bad song?
On the follow. That was.
See,
on
they're
their...
saying it's good. They're saying it's actually good.
It was on their follow-up album.
Yeah.
I guess to me it was like, oh, this is what Tom Petty did, but Tom Petty did it better.
Uh-huh. Interesting. But I kind of want to hear it. I'm gonna
Go for it. I didn't. They was listed as a good song from a bad band.
Yeah, yeah. They're saying the Spin Doctors suck.
See, this was on the next album, which sold a million copies.
Damn.
Was Mary Jane.
Mary Jane, Spin. Come on, boy.
Interesting.
Got terrible internet here. Boy, it feels good to get back on that LTE when you've been out of the country. Woo, doggy. Here we go. Shut up.
This is Cracked, said this?
Yeah, Cracked.
Mary Jane. Mary Jane.
I can't say I'm going to agree with Cracked on this.
Please don't leave me, baby. I'll just find you.
Perspective of Spider-Man.
I asked my uncle if I could go. Yes, yes, go out and take Mary Jane to the picture show. The Uncle Bob sighed.
Yeah, that just seems like somebody who doesn't like what Spin Doctors does, because that doesn't sound like them at all. Because it says, let's see, who could have predicted that the lead singer would grow up to look like Sandra Bullock's Nazi ex-husband? Anyway, I doubt Spin Doctors actually deserve to be mentioned among the worst bands ever, but I also don't know enough about the other stuff they've done to give a shit either way. Well, this is a very informed.
People keep backtracking.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Spin Doctors, pretty good. We have to admit, babe. We hate them. Oh, yeah, all right. They were
every
all
time,
right.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, on Pocket Full of Kryptonite, full of hits. So there were something like five singles off that album.
Yeah.
The 10th song I remembered was one of my favorites, if you have the album.
Let's see. I can find that here. Let's see here. Pocket.
It was like...
Full...
How come you're with him? I mean, there's so many hits in
his
album.
How could you want him?
How could you want him? Another good song. This was their 10th song. Nobody even knew about this song. Just a great sound. I'm quite
contented. Tommy wrote this song when Taylor Swift was with John Mayer.
Damn.
They were together, right?
Yeah. Against the Golden
State. If we were talking about songs you hate the most, mine would have to probably be a John Mayer.
Me too. No, for sure. That
Waiting
song,
on
Waiting on the World
to
Change,
yeah,
is maybe my least favorite song of all time. That's a fun game. Least favorite song of all time.
Yeah.
I think that one's way up there.
Here comes the beautiful riff, and then I'll let you stop if you want. If you can.
If you can.
Oh, listen to that. Listen to that honey lavender voice. He only wants a pretty face by him. Ooh, that riff. Yeah, just jam to that.
I will
night.
Say I'm more into that than a lot of the stuff we've heard, I think. I like a slow song, you know? I like a sweet little jam.
Yeah, John Mayer came, actually I came around on John Mayer a few years ago when I saw him do stand-up comedy. I was like, "Oh, I'm starting to like him a little bit now."
Really?
Seriously?
Is that true? I went the other way.
So, but in college I started hearing his songs and it was like, "Your body is a wonderland, I use my hand."
That's
and
good.
Women are like, "John Mayer," and I'm like, "Really? The
yeah,
body
I know.
Your lips like bubble gum."
Yeah.
Whatever that is. Lyric is. Tongue like
your
bubble gum.
Fingers like Snickers.
And he came to Davidson and did a concert and was just in a bad mood. And he followed Guster and Guster crushed it.
Nice.
And then the crowd just slowly walked out.
Wow.
During John Mayer. That's
Hell
how.
Yeah.
A peaceful protest.
That's how boring and bland his set was and how clearly he didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
And then I heard he had a weird experience with a student, you know, a female student.
Oh,
really?
Where he was pressuring her, you know. I think
some stuff's going to come out about that dude.
I don't know if he was pressuring, or I don't know if he was doing anything wrong, but he was, whatever you want to call it, pressuring.
Yeah.
Some form of pressure.
Sure.
Whether it was verbal or what. I'm sure it was verbal.
We should keep expounding on what it
Sorry.
Could be.
I don't know the story, but it
was probably verbal.
He just went around, you know, hooking up with college girls,
yeah,
and playing bland concerts.
Sure.
And then more recently, you know, he's doing concert with Dave Chappelle. This is 10 years later. I've come around on him a little bit more as he's got older, but yeah, he really rubbed me the wrong way in college. And then I dated a girl that was like, "Yeah, I hooked up with John Mayer once."
What?
Oh, that's my worst nightmare.
And I was
oh,
like,
God.
I already
that's
hated.
That's your worst nightmare?
I'd also be remiss if I didn't say he rubbed that student the wrong way.
Worst nightmare is specifically John Mayer?
Yes.
Yes. I was like, you could have told me any other celebrity. No, in my head, I was like, you could have told me any other celebrity you hooked up with.
Yeah,
and I would have been. It would have been better
right?
than John Mayer.
It's John Mayer. I get so mad about John Mayer because everyone's always like, well, he's actually like the most talented guitarist. Yeah. It's like, well, yeah, then he's feeding us shit because he thinks we're idiots. He's writing these bubblegum pop songs even though he's so talented because he thinks that the people are dumb.
Yes,
that's my theory. But
I like this theory. Oh wait, I'm not.
And he was probably probably 21 when he. When he wrote
that is
Your
the
Body
thing.
Is a Wonderland
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, he broke very young. I watched this super douchey interview with him recently where he's talking about how he came up and kind of his process and why he makes the type of music he does and that he's trying to become more sophisticated. But then he just put out – his new song's not bad, actually, but I still don't enjoy it. It's just him. I don't like him. I don't think he's funny. I don't think he's entertaining.
He was mean to Kumail.
He was mean to Kumail. He was racist to Kumail.
Yeah.
He said he doesn't talk like he looks or whatever. He's an
asshole.
That
story? I've heard that story, but I forgot the details. I didn't know what had happened.
Yeah, he went up after Kumail.
At an open
right?
mic, right?
I think it was at a show. It might have been an open mic. I don't know those
probably
details.
Probably a bar show.
I don't think that John Mayer was going around doing open
yeah,
mics.
Yeah, it was probably a bar show.
It was probably a bar show. And John Mayer's on stage bombing. Like, he's just not doing it because he's not a comedian, you know. He's a musician who thinks that people want to hear him do jokes. But, he's not doing well. And he goes, "Oh, I get it. You don't want to hear me talk. You just want to hear me play music." And then, Kumail goes, "Maybe it's neither." not from the audience. I think he said it. I think he followed John Mayer. I think that was it. Kumail went up after John Mayer and made fun of that he said that. And he was like, couldn't it be neither? Like, it might be neither.
Great joke.
And then John Mayer came on stage and was like talking shit to him. And he was like, oh, you look like Brown, but you don't talk like that. Like,
it was, wow.
But you talk like a Mayer.
Nice sing, John.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it's like one of those Michael Richards moments where like you're on his side, but no, just kidding. JFK, don't look at me like that, Tommy. Yeah, he's an asshole. That forever turned me off to him. It really annoyed me.
I lost him at Bubblegum Tongue.
Yep.
In 2001, but it took you till 2012, Kumail.
I didn't like a lot of his music, but I did like a lot of it though too. It was so weird how some of it I really liked. I liked the song "Why Georgia," and there's some songs I did enjoy from him. But I just don't like his whole vibe. I think exactly what you're saying. It's like, if he's so good, show us.
Yeah.
Why do you have to go on the road and with like these collaboration things to show us anything good? Yeah, I'm not into it. But
for some reason, I don't know why, but for some reason, like, I think the Kumail thing was in his first few weeks of trying comedy.
Uh-huh.
For some reason, and then he kept doing it for 2 years, and he improved, from uh-huh. what I understand.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I just, in my head, liked the fact that he put that much effort into comedy for 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of just sticking with your lane.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I did see him barking outside of Broadway Comedy Club the other day, and I really respected that.
We should play a song.
Oh yeah. Let's.
Because it's almost 4:30.
All right, let's hear Little Miss Can't Be Wrong.
Little Miss Ellie Wong.
We all know it.
Are the feelings that you two are getting when you hear that joy? Is that what you feel?
Some nostalgia for sure.
I like that song. Yeah.
I like that
and
song
it's
too.
A very catchy song. I remember I didn't know that this was the Spin Doctors before. Mm. Before maybe today. I never looked into it. This is one of those songs that's just in your head, in your hair.
Like zombie.
And so I've always enjoyed it, I guess. It's like background to me almost, you know?
I would get this stuck in my little biscuit head every once in a while. Yeah.
It was on the radio a lot.
Yes. It's very... I feel like it's another movie soundtrack song. That I feel like it has to have been in something. I kind of... Oh, yeah. The song was used in the movies Son-in-Law and Malice, both 1993 and also in a 2004 episode of the... popular TV show Friends.
Hell yeah, Friends. Also, I feel like this was radio right before radio just became all good looking people with catchy pop choruses.
Yeah.
There is like a story about the show Friends and the band The Spin Doctors. I'm going to try and find
there's a story about Friends and Spin Doctors?
Because there's something where they were like going
Rembrandt
to
Rembrandt and Friends.
I think they're going to a Spin Doctors concert or something. Like they were heavily featured in the show.
Nice.
Weird.
In the most 90s
that does
crossover.
Sound, yeah. With the opening line, Spin Doctors lead singer Chris Barron wrote this song's lyric about his stepmother, who he was happy to see leave the family. Damn. Wow. With the opening line, been a whole lot easier since the bitch left town. Baron had some explaining to do.
Wow.
As he was accused of misogyny. He often pointed out that his beef was with one specific woman and that he had great respect for women in general.
Oh, God.
As long as they're not banging out his dad. The song is really about life being short, so we should all be nice to one another. No, it's not.
The song is about life being short.
This song is actually about space and time.
Life being short.
Yeah. The bitch is life. And the whore is the sun, if you think about it. The song is really about life short. Yeah, it's life being short. It's about one specific person, not a generalization about women. When I wrote those lyrics, I was a poor guy in New York City who wrote songs. I never dreamed that it would be on the radio all over the world. It's about a person who happens to be a woman who is very unkind, very unforgiving, and couldn't be wrong. It could have been a man, and I promise to try and write more constructive songs in the future. I was hoping that would go, it could have been a man, and I promise to try and write bad songs about men in the future. That's great.
That's I don't have any problem.
I think
with
you can hate one person.
I don't have any problem with the lyric. I think that's a weird defense of it.
I think it's definitely a weird defense. Like, it makes it much worse.
I'm not misogynist because I didn't know anybody would hear that. When I wrote it, I was not a big deal.
Oh, man. I was calling women a bitch all the time. I didn't think anybody would hear it.
Back when I was poor.
In New York City.
So I couldn't find it, but they talk about it on the podcast, Meet My Friends, The Friends. So listen to that. It's a great podcast. But
hey,
also, Spin Doctors wrote the theme song for the TV show, Spin City.
Spin City.
Wow.
Isn't that wild?
I don't know that I've ever actually seen Spin City.
Spin City, was that Charles Sheen? Or
Charles Sheen.
Hey, we're not close.
Are you his winning.
Are you his mother? Charles.
Feline blood.
Was it tiger blood?
Tiger blood, yeah.
What is wrong with you?
Feline is more proper.
Ooh, it was a Bill Lawrence show.
Oh, shit, I forgot about that.
Starring Michael J. Fox. Richard Kind and Alan Ruck.
I have seen that. I didn't realize.
Speaking of Bill Lawrence and music, his daughter is like a pop star now. Charlotte Lawrence. She makes some good music.
Charlie Sheen was in Spin City.
All right. There we go. That's
they listed it alphabetically.
Ooh. This was the first Spin Doctors single, which I did not know. And the song that got the band noticed, they were signed to Epic. Da-da-da.
This is off Home Belly Groove.
Is that right?
I'm guessing. If Epic. It was their first single.
Brand got an anomaly.
Because they did have an album before Pogger Polka. Home Belly Groove.
Ah, interesting. All right. That is very... Wait. A breakthrough came when the Vermont radio station WEQX used part of the Spin Doctors song Big Fat Funky Booty in a promo they produced to promote a local concert.
I'm just looking for a girl with a biscuit head, a home belly, and a big fat funky booty.
Hey, that was 89. That was pre me.
Damn.
The Home Belly Groove was, I think, when they were just a local regional band.
Let's listen to Jimmy Olsen's blues.
Oh, yeah.
We're already an hour into this little ditty.
Oh, there it is.
I like to say little ditty just to see your face.
This is the first song off the album, isn't it?
That, I do not
know. Oh, this is the first song on Pocketbook Football. Played a lot of Super Nintendo to this.
Hell yeah.
Makes me think of Super Metroid.
No, don't say Nintendo.
Yeah, this
Tom.
Is my Switch. Cancel the podcast.
Oh, there's Mad 94.
They did sing about Superman.
Yeah. I remember this song. very vaguely. This is one of those songs that would get played. This must be in a movie, too, or something.
Well, yeah, it wasn't on the radio much.
Yeah, I definitely had heard this, though.
That was just a solid song off the album.
Yeah. The album title also has a Superman theme. Kryptonite is a substance. We know that. Let's see. Lead singer Chris Barron said, "No matter who you are, how good looking you are, how strong you are, or what nationality you are, or if you're a bitch," he didn't say that bitch part, "somewhere in your soul there's a kernel of uniqueness, goodness, and beauty. The pocket full of kryptonite is a metaphor for the gem at the bottom of every soul." Damn.
You know what?
Crunchy.
I feel like maybe Biscuithead was his response to the bitch leaving town.
Yeah.
He was like, Biscuithead's about a man that I didn't like.
Yeah.
And I'm calling him I'm calling him a big head, but I'm using a nicer slur, which is Biscuithead.
Let's see. This song is written from the perspective of Jimmy Olsen, a character in the Superman comic books. Olsen is a young reporter who in this song is envisioned with a case of depression, and as he feels overshadowed by his coworkers, Clark Kent and Lois Lane. It's one of the few Superman songs that isn't about the man in the red suit.
Jimmy Olsen seems like a Mr. Steal Your Girl type.
Is that right?
Well, that he's trying to woo Lois Lane.
Oh,
that's
you're
thing.
Right. Damn. I hope it works out for him. let's see. I had some friends that went to Brown University. I was staying with them, so I was spending a lot of time at Brown, and I was broke. He talks about being poor a lot, which I like. I think that's good. He seems like a nice guy. I'm certainly not Superman.
Everybody was broke when they were in college, though. Like, I don't know. Oh, man, remember? Oh, I was really poor when I was in college. Before I had a job.
Yep.
He tells a story here. Let's say, see. He said, "I came up with this ruse to eat. I stole an apron from the cafeteria, and I would put the apron on, and I would walk through the cafeteria like I worked there. Once I got out into the eating area, I would take the apron off, and I would just start eating. I'm an essentially honest person, so I didn't feel good about basically stealing food from the cafeteria. Not basically. No, you stole. I was sitting there feeling kind of bad, but also being glad to not be hungry anymore."
I mean, I think we would all do that when we were 19 if we needed to eat.
This is great.
That's a good 19-year-old move.
Oh, yeah.
While this is happening. Yeah, I don't think it's bad. And it's also big education. Take them down.
Big education.
Big education.
A young woman walked in while he was doing this, and she looked just like Lois Lane. So my songwriter mind was working. I was looking at her and thinking, if she's Lois Lane, I'm certainly not Superman. Who am I? I thought I'm more like that nerdy photographer guy, Jimmy Olsen. That was the beginning of that song.
Photographer.
I love that he says stealing food. That's like we had someone, this is a long time ago now. We had a friend come on, and she's a nice lady. She came on our other podcast. It was like, yeah, I used to do this thing when I moved to whatever big city she lives in. And
good disguise.
And she's like, where I didn't want to like, I didn't have money for cabs, so I would just pretend to be drunk, and then I'd roll up two ones and make it look like a wad of cash. I'd be like, oh, my boyfriend gave me this, and she just handed the cab driver $2. But she was like, I was just poor. I'm not like a bad person. I was like, well, that's probably a shitty thing to do.
Well, now we know why cab drivers are often in a bad mood. And non-trusting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a little anecdote about that. Let's listen to last song on this playlist, I believe. Ooh. Refrigerator Car. I had this scheme where I was stealing cars.
I was basically virtually. This drummer really loves that snare, the little snare fill.
Odyssey, you're right. That is a similar snare riff.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
Yeah, they'll sing at some point. They don't have to. They're not sellouts. TJ. It was right around the time I joined band and played snare drum in
hell yeah.
I'm not sure which influenced the other. Which came first, me playing snare drum or me liking Spin Doctors?
This is another song. There is not one piece of information about this song on the internet. There is not one opinion.
Not a lot of deep analysis.
I found the lyrics. There is not one opinion on this song. No one's like,
not even
like
user
it.
Comment.
Not one. Nope. Not one. Oh, maybe if I go to the YouTube, I'm gonna do that real fast to see.
Oh, come
just
on!
So
don't
get...
read the YouTube comments.
I think it'll be fun.
That's not even fair.
I don't think haters are going to the.
The YouTube comments are only haters. That's only the people that post.
I
want to
bet on this. I think the first comment is going to be somebody like, I saw them live and I loved it. I don't think that there's a bunch of haters on the Spin Doctors.
I think the top
deep
comment,
cuts YouTube video.
I think the top comment is going to be, this band makes me want to throw myself out a window.
Damn.
That's going to be the top comment.
It's so funny if it is that because you look at it all the time.
I am familiar.
Let's see. YouTube. What are your thoughts on this, Tommy?
No, but I only say
I like
that because
the dice.
YouTube comments are so mean. YouTube comments are only mean.
Let's see here. Do you look at the YouTube comments on your sets and stuff?
I learned not to. I have a joke about it on my new album about how I learned not to.
Yes, and you have a new album coming out. Let's talk about it right now. When is that album coming out?
I have a new album coming out October 12th. Called Innocence, and in that I do a bit where I learned that YouTube comments are, I just learned not to check the comments.
Yeah.
Because I did one of my first TV sets, somebody said, don't check the comments. And I was like, no problem, won't do that.
Yeah.
But then I was happy with the set. I was like, you know, it'd be fun to see what the haters have to say, you know?
Yeah.
And then I go through the whole mental spiral of reading the YouTube comments for about a minute and making an appointment with a doctor. That's how much the comments affected me. After 1 minute, I made an appointment with a physician. And I thought they would not affect me.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
So they really
you
get in your head.
Nothing to, yeah. I am ill. Yeah.
And I talk more details about it on
that
the new album.
Funny.
But I've learned every set I've done since then on TV, I have not read one YouTube comment.
Nice. Yeah. Interesting. I have, I think, finally learned to stop reading stuff about myself. Like, I used to look up when I did Douglas movies and stuff. I would see what, because the first time I did it, my friend texted me, was like, hey, people are saying nice things about you. And I looked and I was like, two nice things. I was like, cool. So then I just started, I got addicted to it. And then I saw some very mean comments.
Yeah.
And then I did it last week and I made a joke. Then I realized I had made a similar joke the last time I was on Douglas Movies that people really hated, and I did it again.
Oh, shit.
It was another AIDS joke. I couldn't help myself. It was too much
there. You never make AIDS jokes anywhere else.
You think I don't know this? I walked away like, what the fuck am I doing? I have to bury my father tomorrow. No, it was too... You know when the elements are just there for a joke and you can't help it? It's like... God,
yeah.
Like, made the joke for you, and you just had to say it. No, it was that I picked a poster for the movie Philadelphia, and I made a joke about, like, in the movie Philadelphia, those guys should have had, like, shitty accents or something like that. Oh, I got fucking AIDS or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But then somehow Taylor Swift came up. Oh, yeah, Doug plays a game now where you name a movie that's also a Taylor Swift song. Like, he gives you hints. And so I said Bad Blood, and I said, which is the alternate title to Philadelphia,
which
I think is a good joke.
That is a good joke.
I think it was quick. I was like, I was thrilled with how fast it was, and some people groaned. And then afterwards, this girl was like, man, you can't help but make an AIDS joke, can you?
Yeah.
I was like, ah, shit.
You know, and the thing that can make you feel better about the troll comments is if you pick your favorite comedian of all time,
yes,
you look at their YouTube video, it's your favorite clip that exists.
Yeah.
And there's comments that are like, sucked.
Yeah.
Not funny.
Not good.
Who is this?
Yeah.
Who
I used to do that with Rory a lot. I'd look up Rory Scovel's YouTube, like his Conan's, and they're like Candy. They're my favorite thing.
Yeah.
Then there's people in there who think he's like an idiot. They're like, what is this? I don't get it at all. Yeah. Like, it's great.
Oh, yeah. Like, when he did one of my favorite bits is when he comes out with John Doerr on stage.
I love that.
And they do sets at the same time because they were double booked.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, he got a few comments both online and in person of like, man, I'm really sorry that happened to you. That sucks, man. And he, what do you say to that?
Yeah, like coming up to Rodney Dangerfield, like, I'm so sorry about the respect thing.
By the way, YouTube comments for the song, best breakup song ever.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Awesome, nice. awesome.
Refrigerator Bands. Car?
Yeah, refrigerator
best
car.
Breakup
best
song
breakup
ever?
Song ever.
They got some fans, man. They got some fans.
Refrigerator of the Jimi Hendrix car. I don't get that at all. That was 2 months ago. let's see. When he's soloing, it's like he's tickling his guitar. The solo said, tickle, tickle there, and a tickle, tickle here.
I feel like Chris Barron is making these comments from ghost YouTube accounts.
Yeah, this is from Sore Throat. It says, loved it when... No, that's what his username would be based on his disease. Loved it when I was 12 and still digging it now. They had more great songs than their handful of releases suggest. I've been looking for another old favorite. Someday all this will be road, but sadly not found it.
Nice.
People love this.
All right, nice.
See, I think
I'm really happy that there's positive.
Dude,
so many positive
bands,
comments.
It's not the same as going to comedy. Because especially something like this, if you go to Justin Bieber's YouTube, I'm sure you'll see people being like, this sucks or whatever.
Yeah.
But bands like this, people really got to seek it out.
Yeah.
And they're not like, I want to look up refrigerator cards so I can shit on it.
That's true.
But comedy, they'll just be on the Conan page or the Jimmy Fallon page and they'll see whatever pops up.
Or they're scrolling through funny videos.
Exactly.
And
they'll
like,
be like,
that's not funny to me.
They'll be like, I live in Ireland and this doesn't make sense to me. I hate Americans. Yeah, I did the same thing with Conan, where I was like, I gotta look, I can't help it. And then it's mostly nice, but there's one person who said, I have shark teeth on there. But he goes, you got shark teeth, but at least he's funny. And I was like, why put that shark teeth thing in there?
Yeah, they really cut you to. So mine specifically was his microphone's really shaky. He must be nervous. And I was like, I wasn't nervous at all. I just have a wobbly microphone.
That happened to me too.
Totally.
Said
part
I was
of
nervous.
My part
yeah.
of my style. I wasn't. I didn't feel nervous at all. And then the next comment said, "Don't make fun of him. That might be Parkinson's."
Oh my god!
And then I was like, "I don't have Parkinson's."
Yeah.
And then the next comment said, "That is definitely Parkinson's."
That is so funny.
And then I was like, how come nobody told me I have Parkinson's?
Wait, that's why he called the doctor.
And then I was researching Parkinson's.
That is.
Like 30 seconds after looking at the comments.
Incredible.
I was like, I guess I have some symptoms.
I did that too. I had a show at Caroline's that I'd like sprint to get to my spot. So I was like drenched in sweat. And I knew people thought I was nervous. And it was so annoying.
I hate that.
Like, it's like, I'm not sweating because I'm scared. Like,
I had that. It sucks because you can't argue with those people. Like, no, I'm not nervous. Like, nobody believes.
By the way, do you notice how neither me or Tommy said, oh, no, you don't have shark teeth?
No, I noticed. You think I didn't notice that?
No, Tom, your teeth look normal.
I did notice that. And I will be making an appointment with a physician shortly after this.
Wouldn't you say dentist?
I would have never noticed anything strange about your teeth.
I'm covering my teeth with my microphone now.
Shaky ass microphone.
But it's so annoying. They say things that hit to your most self-conscious point.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's like, I thought it was more funny than frustrating, but I still was like, come on, man, what do you got to do this for? But if that's what it's going to be, that's what it's gonna
shark
be.
Teeth.
let's wrap this boy up. What a nice little pod we've had. We got to rate this playlist. It's good to be back, Tommy.
Yeah, man. So we rate the playlist out of 6. It's not rating the band. It's not rating you. I'm going to give 1 point for each of those princes.
Wow.
2 out of 6.
2 out of 6.
It's not...
You're ranking the whole 6 play track list?
Yes.
Out of 6.
I don't like... I'm just not a jam band guy, and I didn't really realize they were a jam band until I listened to more than... Like, I like the songs I knew, and but yeah.
Interesting.
Not for me.
All right.
I think the guy looks like an asshole.
You've been, like, hiding your hate this whole time.
He does this a lot.
you've been really just silently hating, waiting to the end.
Tommy is an assassin.
Well, I like you.
He's got a silencer that he...
You're welcome. Everybody hates the Spin Doctors. That's why I'm here. I'm here to say, hey, not that... They were pretty good for that moment.
Tommy always sneaks up on people. And it really makes you question what he thinks about you as a person.
No, this is what I'm saying. Don't question what I think about you as a person.
Because you can sit there and silently hate something. I'm like, what does Tommy really think about stuff?
Shark teeth broke ass.
It really,
biscuit head ass bitch.
What really stung is when you said, don't take this as a personal thing on you, Joe. Like, if you hadn't said that, I wouldn't have.
And since I've been out of town for a while, I don't have to rate the playlist this week, which is nice. But no, I think I'm going to give 1.9 for each of those two princes, which adds up to 3.8.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to go 3.9. I think I liked this more than I thought I would. I like Little Miss Can't Be Wrong. And you know what? I like those two princes. I think it's a good song.
Those are the two I like.
Yeah. I also liked Jimmy Olsen's Blues. I did not enjoy What Time Is It?
4:30.
I was sending you all the songs that had meaning to me.
Of course, yeah,
that's the point.
Yeah, and your meaning is a 3.8 out of 6 to me.
I mean, I didn't even send you the 6 top hits. I didn't know we were doing that.
No, you did everything right. Oh, what do you rate the playlist? Out of 6.
I would give it 3 points for every prince.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Which
that's
is
good.
6 points out of 6.
We should start doing this from now on.
No matter what.
Always
that's how we say it.
How many princes?
2
princes.
No, I'd give it 5 out of 6 because Biscuithead is where I had to fade out.
Yeah.
Biscuithead's where I had to move on.
Mm-hmm.
So Biscuithead, I was giving an example of the departure.
I see.
So 5 out of 6.
I appreciate it. This has been super fun. What a great day. This has flown by this time. I've been having too much fun. I do want to say really quickly, Heaven is a Half Pipe on Twitter wrote, 2 Princes by the Spin Doctors is about some princess, 2 royal suitors who decide to suck each other off instead. I don't know where he got that, but I like the theory.
Interesting discourse.
If you have any fan theories on 2 Princes, send them in.
Sure.
StandByYourBandPod@gmail.com.
Did you say they broke in Vermont? Was that what they said?
They said, so a Vermont radio station is what picked them up some steam, according to this, with that funky butt.
You know, something. Where I recorded my album, Vermont Comedy Club.
Oh, yeah.
Might have a parallel career to the Spin Doctors.
Yeah. This might be a funny
Vermont related.
What a great comedy club, by the way. Check out Joe's album. Joe is one of my favorite comics. He's fucking amazing.
Yes.
Check out his half hour on Comedy Central.
Oh.
Is that that's
you.
Already out, right? It's people can watch that on
I think it's on Hulu.
On Hulu. Okay.
Yeah. What was your first album called?
Smiling at Wolves.
That's right.
Yeah, I just listened to that recently, and it's so funny.
Incredible.
So listen to that. It's great.
We should note, if you like John Mulaney, he noted one of Joe's bits as one of his favorite bits of all time that he watches.
Yeah,
his
Andrew Jackson bit. Yeah.
So check that out.
Yeah, I was blushing when I saw that.
That was incredible.
Yeah, look at you. You got John Mulaney saying you're good. You got Steph Curry taking you to a diner.
Wow. It's true. My life looks good if you narrow it down into the 2 people who at one
Tommy.
Point, for a brief 7 seconds in my life, my life looks really good.
You got Tommy.
Let's forget about all those wide open, empty days that have filled the other 36 years.
Thank you, Joe. Tommy, check out Tommy's website, TommyMagnumber.com. I'm going to be somewhere. I'll put it on Twitter. Follow us. I can't.
Why are you
going to
be somewhere?
I'm disheveled. Yeah, I'll be around. You'll see me out there in the streets. Come to Littlefield on September 11th. There's a Comedy Central taping they're doing, and I'd like to see you there. That'd be nice. Anything else? Check out the Patreon, patreon.com/standbyyourband. Rate and review on iTunes if you're having a good time. Sorry again about the hiatus. We're going to try to make it up with we're going to do a makeup episode.
Yeah, where we put on makeup.
Yeah.
On our little faces.
Have sex. All right, guys. Keep it crispy. Bye.